This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good morning. It's Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Saturday between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. We are in the wraps of a little cold spell, premature cold spell, I believe. Usually we get these towards the end of December. It's in the 20s. I personally like this weather, not because I become busier at work, but I've always liked it. Even when I was a kid, I loved the wintertime. And it's not as if I was a skinny little kid. I had nothing to burn off, but I still enjoyed it. But what the show is about, if you've never joined us before, we talk about being prepared for emergencies and disasters, you know, fires and floods and vehicular issues against buildings and trees and windstorms. And heck, this past couple months ago, we had classified by the government as a tornado that went through Queens and Brooklyn. And unfortunately, Staten Island got the backhand there. They didn't get classified. They got hit pretty good, though. I think just as equal some of the things I saw out there. When, again, you know, we talk about being prepared, and it's all over the place. All the guests that come on the show, I should say 90% of them. Other ones have specialties. There was Dave Fenyahazi, like last week with Larry Manis. He was about salvageability of fires and flooding and mold even of apparel. Those are not the everyday type of things, but part of insurance claims or even government claims for that matter. The risk managers, you know, they need to bring in these experts in these particular fields. But on a whole, we've talked about, you know, we've had the fire chief and the fire captain. We had Nick Maurice from the OEM. We also talked about Haiti. I understand Haiti is a hot topic. I was intrigued by when I came across these couple of guys, Little Paul and Big Paul. BP Little P is what they call them out there. But anybody who follows the show and Twitter and Facebook, just wanted to know. I talked to Paul the other day. He's on an island not too far off from Haiti, and he's setting up a triage medical unit, using his expertise for that. And Little Paul is actually still in Port-au-Prince, but he's safe. I know things are pretty hairy down there. Also, we'll stick with the Haiti thing. We get Wave Place member Tim Falconer trying to get his computers out of the grip of the Haitian government, and so he can disperse them to the school kids, one laptop per child. Again, remember that show was about educating, you know, the future. I mean, if again, like I said it week in, week out, about this world being flat, you know, the communication is instantaneously with this Facebook and Twitter and emails and Skyping, and it's mind-boggling. I just got hooked up for Skype the other day, which I'm going to be doing with Big Paul this week or next week to get a feel of what's happening. And this is live video. We're gonna upload it on the website. You can check it out. I just recently had a conversation with a doctor regarding diabetes, and I said, "Did you hear the show?" And he said, "Yeah, you know, your brother actually turned me on to your show, and you know, the disaster of happening with his diabetes." Now, if you've noticed, there's a lot more commercials about diabetes going on out there. They're making this major push across the country because, again, this is affecting the interior of America. I mean, our future workforce, you know, we're not going to have one because they're going to be sick and they're going to have diabetes, they're overweight, cardiovascular disease. And so with that said, those are some of the things we do on this show. And there'll be more prep room. We'll be talking about kits and, you know, again, just hammering home this preparedness thing. Because, again, like I always say, you want to meet me socially, you know, meet me professionally. Meet me professionally, something bad has happened in your life. The winter months are upon us. The show is going to be taken for the next couple of weeks. We'll be taken into the winter preparedness. And there's lots of things you can do out there, a lot of things. There is more people create more problems for themselves because with the winter months, people stay in their homes or at businesses. They don't go out for lunch as much. You know, there's candles involved. There's overloading of outlets. And we're going to talk about that because Captain Dan's going to come on next week and we'll talk about 10, 12 minutes of some of the things that we could prevent in the holiday season. It encompasses all the holidays. There's candles that represent on both sides with Hanukkah and Christmas, and there's lights and things of that nature. Just winter preparedness around the house, you know, with the ice damming and winterizing, you know, hose bibs on the outside of your house. Is the exterior of your home compromised and you don't realize it because the insulation is keeping you from entering the room, the cold air, but yet it's inside the cavity where that pipe is running? That could cause a problem. So, again, you know, we got the cold weather already upon us. Up north in Rochester and Buffalo, 3.5 feet of snow. My aunt and uncle are going bananas up there, I'm sure. My mother hasn't called me on that. She does like to give me a call every once in a while with when their weather goes bad up there, because she's complaining about moving to the south. Hey, come on down. There's enough room down here. Or if you want to go down to real south, there's a lot more room down there. You know, so being prepared. Some of the things you do with the piping and, like I said, the ice damming, and is related to your gutters and how snow piles up and is able to get underneath the layer of the shingles. And if it's not properly maintained throughout the year or after a couple of years, you can have the water and the ice damming shooting back underneath and starts to compromise the roof sheathing. Water enters, does some magical things. I've seen many. One side of the house unaffected, another side of the house affected, and the water came from the unaffected area. So it can run duct lines, it can run conduit lines, it could, it's got, and some old building debris. You know, there's, you know, you ever open up some of these walls and, like, you see a, you know, a beer bottle from 1960. These things are inside the cavities, and, you know, water traverses and goes down to its lowest point. So those are the kinds of things you can avoid. You can have if it's an insurance claim, it's going to be covered most of the time. But, you know, next thing you know, you have to rip down the ceiling, then you got to do new sheetrock, and then you got to paint. So, and during the holiday season, that's not a good thing. And if you just joined us, it's a Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. If you want to follow us, we're on Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of that stuff. So following us, you can go to the website at cppems.com. There's all the banners from some of the guys I've had on, some of the guys who were behind the show, and the show's done very well. I'm very pleased with it. It's almost like public service announcement, and we do have those commercials that run throughout our breaks here at the station. Periodically, I get updates from the New Jersey Office of Emergency Management. Last year, when we had the storms up here in the Northeast, the rain and snow came on after the freezing, so the ground was hard, and the water and the snow couldn't, when it started to melt, couldn't go anywhere, so it sat up top. That's when it caused all that flooding. So you had a lot of seepage issues, and there was a lot of losses, a lot of people's homes that I went to that, you know, unfortunately, insurance doesn't carry that. You did have power outages, and there was a cap on how long they would and how much they would pay for on power outages. Some people were out for weeks, some people were out for a couple of days, but, you know, you lose food. You lose items that you didn't properly store away. Again, you know, it's all that, you know, goes back to that whole preparedness thing. I mean, I got a ton of plastic containers in my basement. And I learned the hard way. And I've been in this business for a very, very long time. And if you've been listening to me, you know that I'm always about taking care of somebody else's problems, and I always forget at my own house. But I've been very diligent this past year. With my paperwork, you know, all the contact information. I mean, I have it in my phone. I got backups for this. I got backups for that. I bought some new flashlights for the kids and for the wife. The car's all jacked up. I got all that stuff. I think I was telling you a couple of weeks ago. It might have been last week. You know, regarding traveling, holiday seasons, you know, lots of traffic, lots of accidents. You know, having a kit, a car kit, is going to be, it should, or some form of emergency lighting and flares and, heck, you know, even a shovel in case you get stuck in the snow or some sand. Those things you should, you know, it's not that much. You'll feel a heck of a lot better if you break down or if you get stuck and you had it because you went to one of the local hardware stores or one of those big monster stores and just bought a couple of things. And you know what? You could be like I said last week, and I got this tag from a friend who's going to be coming on the show. Be that guy, you know, be the guy with that certain something that gets you out of trouble and gets you out of the situation that you're in. With that said, it's a Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Saturday on AM 970 The Apple. We'll have a station break, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970 The Apple. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Call 201-483-8953. That number again is 201-483-8953. Visit us on the web at www.cppems.com. Write this number down. 201-483-8953. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. Servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
So we're back from a station break and a commercial break. And my guest today is Michael Venetis. He's the founder of the PrepRoom.net. The site is along what we've been preaching here at the show. It's about having toolkits and supplies for emergencies and disasters that occur unexpectedly in this life, and also with he's got some other items on the site that you can check out that you can purchase, and you know, that can fill your personal needs or your professional needs, whether you have a business to take care of or your home. Everybody's got something to take care of. Mike, I'm glad that you can join us.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for having me on the show.
So, Mike, you're the founder of the PrepRoom.net, and how'd you get into this crazy business?
Yeah, you know, it's I used to be one of those guys who, when people were talking about being prepared for a disaster, I was kind of the person who thought they were just paranoid and kind of on the crazy side. The more I learn and the more I listen to the news, my wife and I got to a point where we're like, wow, there's a bunch of crazy things going on in this world, and we're not really ready for it. And so really, it just, you know, coming up with this idea of selling emergency preparedness supplies first came out of our own need, where we recognized that we're just highly ill prepared for really anything. I don't even know if we owned a flashlight at the time. And so as we started, you know, building, creating our own emergency preparedness, you know, supply and stock, and talking to other people, realizing that there's a lot of people out there who just are not prepared for anything. And not only are they not prepared for things, they don't even know the things that they aren't prepared for, you know.
Not knowing that they don't know.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, with that said, you're talking to your wife, and you talked about flashlights, or whatever. It was my every 3 quarters, every 3 months, I should say, I get a whole new set of batteries, regardless.
Yeah.
And again, and you're right about those people must be crazy about this preparedness stuff, and I was the same way, totally. And then I got into the emergency service business, and going to people's homes or businesses after fires and floods and anything, a car through a building, trees through buildings, how business owners and homeowners, whether they're, you know, blue collar or white collar, but, you know, really unprepared. And you know what, that simple thing of having a flashlight, I always do a check in my house. I got little guys, so I got kids, and they're playing, the cousins and whatnot.
Right.
I can't find a flashlight. You know, I'm constantly on the hunt for a flashlight. You know, it's always, some of those movies talk about, you know, the father's always knocking the door, get out of the bathroom. I'm always saying, where's your flashlight? Because I have it in the back of their doorknobs.
I know what you're talking about. And I learned the hard way about not being prepared. I mean, I remember several years ago, we went through a couple of power outages that, you know, end up being very expensive. You know, we had two big refrigerators full of food, and you know, that was probably $500-$600 just in food that we threw away, and all these different things, missing work, and so you know, I got to a point where, like, wow, if I had a generator, you know, I could have not only saved myself a lot of money, but also just the inconvenience and hassle. So yeah, it was a bunch of experiences like that that I personally went through, and came to the conclusion that, but it's a lot better if you're actually prepared for some of these things.
Yeah, yeah. If you just joined us, this is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. My guest today is Michael Vinetis. He's the founder of the PrepRoom.net, and some of the people out there listening in PrepRoom, we're not talking about a funeral home. We're talking about emergency supplies and kits and lights, and it encompasses so many things. Now, on your website, and you said, how long you've been doing this now?
Well, it's, you know, the website is coming up on a year, but we've been, you know, before having the website, we've been doing stuff, you know, just face-to-face with different groups and people.
So face-to-face, what is a face-to-face for you?
Well, face-to-face was really, you know, it started out with just our circle of friends and family, and then, you know, just saying, you know, we actually, like I said, we got to a point where we were not prepared for lots of different things, and so just doing the research on our own and then sharing that with friends and family, and so it was just kind of a, almost more of a part-time thing for us, and where we were just helping, you know, friends and family out, and then we just got to a point where like, wow, this is, you know, I think this we should go kind of full-time with this and make this our core business.
Right. I mean, it's almost like, and I always equate it to like a public service announcement. You would, you know, it's like one vote, you know, one person votes. I mean, look at all the close elections the last couple of years, you know, it's, you know, separated by a couple of votes. So, you know, just so supplying something or the knowledge or physical supplies to a person, then they're prepared. You know, just that one person could have had something, or they could have had an experience in their past lives, and then you know, all of a sudden you're talking about, just like, oh my God, you know what I did? I had that kitchen fire, or I had the flood from the guy from the third floor, and I didn't have this, I didn't have that. It's for me, it's very gratifying when I go onto this job. So I spend probably more time than I should. You know, time is money. But there's a lot of people, you know, in the dark physically and in the dark because they don't know that, you know, our industry exists really. The government's done a great job, whether, I don't care what state you're from, it's a collective bargaining on the, not collective bargaining, but a collective consensus with the states getting at the, you know, make a plan, get a kit, that kind of stuff. So let's go back to the websites. What are the things that you're seeing, the items are being sold on a daily basis or a monthly basis? Or does it go with you know, the seasons? How do you monitor that?
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, it's, you know, first of all, it's kind of our human nature that we don't, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And so until something actually happens to us or someone we know close to us, that's when we start thinking about things. And, you know, it takes a small fire for somebody to say, oh, I maybe now's a good time to start buying a fire extinguisher, or, you know. And so it's, you know, generators, you know, happen to be one thing that, you know, in the Chicago area where I'm from, we experienced a lot of power outages this summer. So that was, there was a spike in the sale of generators. Emergency food is a big thing now.
Mm-hmm.
This is for a couple of reasons. You know, there's, you know, the economy obviously is just horrible right now, and it's, you know, from all indicators that I track, it's not getting better anytime soon. And so there's a lot of people who are finally getting on board with that, and they realize that, you know, they're starting to see all of their, not all of their, but they're starting to see friends and family who are losing their jobs and who've been struggling for a while, and you know, I don't care if there's reports saying unemployment's, you know, getting better. I don't see it happening. So what a lot of people are doing is starting to stock up on food. You know, we carry a whole line of Mountain House freeze-dried and dehydrated food, which is great for, you know, it's compact. It lasts, you know, in some cases, it has a shelf life of 30 years. And that's good for someone like me because I like to just buy something, have it there, and not have to worry about, you know, rotating the food out and, you know, having some sort of first-in, first-out system. And although that's good for canned goods and that sort of thing.
Right.
But you know, food inflation, food prices are going up. And so it just makes sense for a lot of people that they go out and stock up on food and other items that they know they're going to eventually use. And so you might as well buy it now while the prices are still lower and while the dollar hasn't completely lost its value.
You're right. Well, you know, you talk about the economy. There's a lot of things that encompasses the disasters of, with correlations to the economy, and one of them is obviously is food. So, like, it's the freeze-dried. It's not the MRTs, you know, like they have the military. It's a bit not as hot and brown, and you heat it up and you move on. It's got a little more taste to it, correct?
Oh yeah, no, they have some great meals. The MREs, those are. You know, those are important too for more of a kind of a grab and go scenario where mm-hmm. you have to evacuate your home in a hurry because of a fire or flood or something. But yeah, the other, you know, the freeze dried foods, you know, there's some pretty good meals in there.
If you just joined us, this is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Saturday between 7 and 8 a.m. Today, my guest is Michael Venetes. Mike is the founder of thepreproom.net. Check out the website. But getting back to the basic emergency preparedness supplies, Mike, what are you seeing that your hits and people are asking for you, you know, to ship out to them? What are you seeing?
Yeah, so you know, there's and you know, there's a whole bunch of different places that you can go to get a list of, you know, what a basic emergency supply kit should look like, just by going to ready.gov, which is, you know, the Homeland Security site. They have some great lists that you can pull out. But, you know, food and water's if everybody should have, for every family member, at least 1 gallon of water per day, and you should have at least 3 days of drinking water. Same thing with food, at least 3 days of food. Mm. And then, you know, just there's other things like having a hand crank radio or something where you can recharge. We offer some radios where you can, you know, plug in your cell phone and hand crank. There's a hand crank to charge it up. You know, that's great if the power goes out. Flashlights with extra batteries, first aid kit, having just, you know, something as simple as a whistle. You know,
right.
Get a whistle,
yeah,
for, I don't know, 89 cents, and that could save your life. You know, yeah, help rescue workers find you.
Sure.
So there's, a whole bunch of things. And aside from the basic stuff, you know, what I would encourage everybody to look at are, you know, what happens if you had to evacuate the home, you know, right now, you had just a couple minutes to leave. Would you have everything you need in one spot in the house where you can just grab it and go? Do you have, you know, medications for your kids or you?
Mm. Yeah, and that's the, you know, it's kind of the broken record thing. Mike and I got to pick up wherever we just left off. We're going to go to station break and pay some bills with the commercials and be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Today's guest is Mike Venetes. Mike's the founder of thepreproom.net. It's a great website in our industry. On the East Coast, I know a lot of guys in the industry, but since I've had the show, I'm getting to meet guys with the same type of passion that I have and the sense of urgency of, you know, making the public aware, or even, you know, the individuals or the business owners on some of the things they should just naturally possess. I mean, business owner, you have paper, you have a copy machine. Why don't you have a fire extinguisher? I saw that you had a kit for the car, and this is huge. I mean, you guys get a lot more snow than we do, so being prepared, driving with our traffic in both of these biggest metropolitan areas in the country, what is encompasses in your kits for the cars?
Yeah, so we have several car kits that you know, really just have everything that you would need if your car were to break down, and you know, everything from the obvious things like jumper cables, you know, first aid kit, flashlight with batteries, fire extinguisher, and then things like a solar blanket where, you know, some of the things are, we have them where they don't take up a lot of space, but, you know, they come in real handy when you need it. Duct tape even, you know, there's duct tape, there's 1,000 uses for duct tape. And so there's, you know, it's designed where everybody kind of knows what they should have at home,
yeah, right,
what they should have in the car, but it's just taking the time to even, you know, you can go to the web and say, okay, well, today I'm going to go look for a fire extinguisher for my car. But, you know, we just kind of keep on pushing it off, and to go out and take the time to buy each one of these things individually. Most people just don't have that time. So we kind of, it's kind of a one-stop shop where you can get a whole kit and you don't have to worry about anything else.
Well, you know what? Kids roll their eyes when I talk about, you know, we'll be eating dinner or, I don't know, shooting hoops, and I'll just blurt out, okay, we have a fire in the back bedroom. Where are you going? You know, like, oh my God, here he goes again. I'm a realist. I'm not a panic guy. Nowadays with mold, I don't think mold is killing everybody, but do I think there's hazards to it? Sure there is. I think there's validity to a lot of stuff out here and out there, if you will, in TV land, radio land. But it's, you know, as I think Americans, we get just jammed up with daily. Okay, who's going to football practice? Who's going to basketball practice? That the little things that you take for granted, the half hour to relax, you might be better off saying, you know what? Let me go to some major store and get myself a little fire extinguisher. Even stick it in the car. You know, that could be part of your kit for the car.
Yeah.
I think the car kit is a great idea. So, but people can get on the website. They can pretty much get everything they want. Or could they modify it?
Well, a lot of the items that we do have in the kit, we do sell individually too. So, yeah, there could be somebody who comes to the site and they already have a handful of supplies and they just want to add to it, so they can go that route. Or, like I said, we have kind of the one stop shop. There's a handful of different survival kits that have different things in them. But I think, you know, and I think what you touched on about, you know, with your family, where, you know, almost like a game, but saying, you know, okay, if there's a fire, what do you do? That's one of the most important things I think somebody can do. Just thinking through a disaster. There was a book that I read, I think it was the Survivors Club. Ben Sherwood, I believe, is the author's name, and he was talking about how people have short-term memory and then long-term memory, and what happens in a disaster is if you don't have a plan in your short-term memory, in other words, if the last time you thought about what the fire evacuation plan is for your home was 10 years ago, when there's a fire, people just freeze up. They become just frozen because their mind is searching their short-term memory for what to do, and there's nothing there, and so they panic, and that's why a lot of people, I forgot what the number is, but most people who are in some sort of disaster, who perish, they shouldn't have. You know, there was an easy way out in a lot of cases, but because they froze because of their not knowing what to do, that's the biggest thing, and so. You know, my biggest encouragement would be, you know, on a weekly basis, do what you're doing, and just, you know, with your family or even at work, just saying, if this were to happen right now, what would I do? And if the answer is I don't know what I would do, then you know, buy some books, go to the library. We've got some great books on our site about how to deal with economic collapse or, you know, all sorts of things.
Right, and you know, and we're going to be touching on the economic disasters in a couple of weeks. If you just join us, this is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, and we're every Saturday between 7 and 8 a.m. Here in the Apple, a.m. 970. Mike Venentes is my guest today. He's the founder of the Prep Room. Maybe you can make it a game, maybe you can't, but, I mean, obviously disasters are serious stuff, and they come in many forms, you know. You have, I'm not saying fire is glamorous, but it's more, you know, people see a fire in a car or a car wreck, you know, like they're all glued to it. It's just human nature. But the funny thing, ironic thing, I should say, about, you know, the fires is when we had Fire Prevention Week, what I really think should be Fire Prevention Month, it came from the Great Chicago Fire. That's how that got implemented in this country. It's been, 80, 90 years old that once a week or once a month that they talk about it. But, you know, we depend on our government to be prepared. You know, we're always like, well, how come they didn't know about this and how come they didn't know about that? You know what? There's probably a lot of stuff I don't want to know about, that they let them do their job, you know. But you could, if you know, not lean on your government so much and just lean on yourself and say, you know what, I got the ABCs of my kit, or this is what I need where I live. I might not need sand or kitty litter for snow because I don't have snow where I live. I might need something else.
Yeah.
So let's talk about things that are, you know, economics, and you know, very few people have an extra $100 for this or that, the other thing. Some of the cheaper, or I shouldn't say cheaper, what are the affordable ways of getting prepared? What are some of your ideas on that?
Yeah, so, and, you know, and before I do, just to touch on what you said about the government, people are relying on the government to take care of them. You know, that's kind of a scary thing because you're right that we do depend on, you know, we think that if there's some sort of disaster in our area that, you know, help is on its way, and that's not always the case. I mean, eventually help will be on the way, whether it's the you know, FEMA or Red Cross or whatever. Eventually somebody comes, but the problem is, are they going to get there before you're not around anymore? You know, Hurricane Katrina was a great example of we just didn't get there quick enough, and sometimes it's because we can't get there quick enough, and there could be disasters that prevent people from making it to your area. So that's why it's so important for people to be self-sufficient and to be able to, whether it's just a grab-and-go survival kit or whatever it is, but to not rely on anybody and say, hey, if something happens, no one's going to take care of me but me.
Right.
And I think that's the attitude that people have to start going through.
So what are some of the affordable things that people can put in their car or even put in their house?
Yeah, you know, the first thing is to get the list, to figure out what you actually need. And then, you know, what I say is the first thing that you should do is kind of do a full inventory of your life. And what I mean by that is look at what you actually possess, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, half the stuff that you would want in a survival kit, you actually already own. It's just a matter of finding it.
Right.
And so what I would encourage you to do is go through the house, look through the basement, your garage, whatever it is, and look for the things that you would want in a kit. And then actually build a kit with that. Put everything in one spot, so if something happens, you're not, you know, spending an hour, you know, rifling through everything looking for your supplies. But as far as getting the supplies itself on the cheap, you know, first of all, water, you can just use tap water and just bottle it. You know, what we started doing a while back was just taking the 2-liter bottles of pop and sterilizing the bottles and then filling them up with water and storing those.
That's a great idea.
Over the summer, we actually had a garage sale, and as I was putting stuff out, all of a sudden I realized, I'm like, wait a minute, why are we selling this? I could use this. And I, you know, there was a couple old suitcases that I'm like, this would be great for, you know, storing our stuff in. So, just taking the inventory of what you have, and then whatever items are left over that you don't have, you know, doing things and stuff, paying full price at a store, finding them on Craigslist or, you know, eBay or garage sales, yard sales, that sort of thing. There's a new site I discovered not too long ago called FreeCycle, where people in your area, you can join a group in your local area and just give stuff away. And it's kind of a barter system, if you will, where you can give stuff away. And then if you see something you need, you can take it. So there's a lot of things like that you can do. You know, buying, making sure that clothes that you buy are not super trendy, but things that are, you know,
practical,
the classic stuff that won't go out of style next year.
Right.
And just saving money.
God knows, as Americans, I'm sure we want to look stylish as there's water flooding down from the apartment building above us.
Yeah.
We were at a fire. Does my shoes match my bag?
Right. Yeah, I write a blog a couple times a month, and I get some feedback that, you know, someone will say, you know, I read your first, you know, last three blogs, and now this fourth one, it's all coming together. Like, I'm feeling convicted that I need to start doing something to take care of my family. So the website, again, is thepreproom.net, or you can also call us 1-800-266-1472. And, you know, also we're on Facebook. If you... to all the listeners, if you go on our fan, or, well, they don't call it a fan page anymore, but our Facebook page, it's The Prep Room. You can sign up and or hit the like button, and you can get a free 10% off coupon on any purchase.
Oh, that's cool.
Purchase. Yeah.
We're going to go to station break, and we'll be right back.
Thanks, Chris.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company with 20 years' experience in emergency management and restoration. Our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition. Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next? Fire, smoke, water, or mold? CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. We've got answers. For more information, visit us on the web at www.cppems.com or give us a call at 201-483-8953. That's 201-483-8953. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. It's Disaster Recovery Hour. Chris Plunkett. I'm your host every Saturday morning between 7 and 8 here on AM 970, The Apple, talking New York. Just want to thank my guest. That was Michael Venentes. He is the founder of the PrepRoom.net. Pretty cool website. You should check it out. There was a very cool thing on there regarding how the pump in clean water into a jug for like out of a, you know, kind of a murky pond, and it's got this filtration system, which was it's fairly cheap. So I mean it's good for camping, it's good for hiking, and then, you know, also that's good for the emergency thing. So one of the last things we left off with Mike was about cars being, you know, prepping your car. I got a newsletter from the New Jersey Office of Emergency Management. My friend down there, Nick Morisi, is the director of the communication. I was hoping he was going to call in today, but then again, you know what? There's a lot of stuff that they're doing. These guys are slammed. He works down there at what they call the Rock. It's the state police headquarters down there, down South Jersey. But getting back to preparing your car, there's a lot of no-brainers, and some of the things I'm going to say, you're going to say, well, come on, Chris, enough with the no-brainer stuff. But if it affects one person, that's good. You know, if that one person say, you know what, didn't think about it, 95% of the people did, and I'm that 5% that didn't. So you know, that's not a bad thing. So let's go with just the engine itself, and this comes off another OEM website, and this is, you know, your antifreeze levels. So, I mean, cars nowadays are a little more sophisticated, but there are still your standard. I'm not an automotive expert, but there are still standard things inside an engine. So your antifreeze levels and your battery, your ignition systems, your brakes, exhaust systems. You know, you have carbon monoxide. You know, warming up your car inside your garage probably is not a good idea. And there's always somebody who makes the news doing that. I know when I warm up the cars in the morning this past week, take the car out, one car goes in the driveway, one car's in the garage, one's outside, and I warm both of them up, and I close the garage door, so I don't want that stuff filtering back into the house. Those are the kinds of things, those little simple things that you can be aware of. Your heater and your defrost system. An older car might have the heater system could be spotty. Hopefully it's still under warranty if it's not that old. Oil, your thermostat, windshield wiper equipment, super important. And also very important is the windshield wiper fluid. You eat up a lot of it this time. You know, you can get some in the wintertime. You get a gallon of that stuff for 99 cents. The winter comes, 10 bucks, you know, slammed, you know, knocking over the fence with that. Your tires should be maintained and checked just to see if, you know what, the tread's going to be able to get through snow. And we're here in the Northeast, we get plenty of snow. Not as severe, I don't think, as a kid. I'm not going to say it's global warming, but it's definitely different. And then let's talk about what you got inside the trunk of the car, or, well, everybody, half the people that drive out there got SUVs. So you can stick a shovel in there, which is not a bad, collapsible shovel. It doesn't have to be 50 feet long, you know, a little guy, a little four-footer. I got one for my son. He doesn't want a shovel, but I make him the shovel. I had a shovel when I was a kid, so I'm going to make him do it. So the windshield wiper, scraper, maybe a small broom. You have your flashlight. There's a radio. There's batteries. There's backup, you know, even like little snacks. Talk about what Dr. Archie Roberts a couple of shows ago regarding diabetes in this country. You know, I never, you know, my kids are all about snacks. Everything revolves around snack time. So, but regarding prepping your car, that's a different story. You should have some energy bars or something like that that could last, you know, the winter months inside the car all wrapped up. Maybe a blanket or two. That's not a bad thing. You should always have rope. And rock salt. I think for me, there's a lot of these things that they cover all bases. But I think, you know, rock salt or road salt, whatever you want to classify it, is a good thing to have. You know, just make sure that, you know, even if you're going, I'll give you an example. I ran out, I don't know, it was last winter. I ran out just for a few minutes down to the store, get something for my daughter, and didn't have a jacket on. And coming back the other way, it was about a mile and change, I got stuck. I got stuck in the road because I had a vehicle because somebody wasn't driving properly in front of me. But I had no jacket, so I kind of wiggled my car out of the snowbank that I was in. So you know what? It's applicable. I know it because it actually works. So those are the things that the websites and the OEMs and the FEMAs like to put out there. You know, our government's doing their business. They're prepared. So and they're giving us these tools so where we could be prepared. We're talking about the car, and it's an important tool because you're not going to be walking around and riding your bike in the winter months. But let's not forget about the house. You know, where you stick your car, where you live. There's the outside water lines. Make sure you get those things cut off. Gotta check your gutters. Like we talked about at the beginning of the show, you have your ice damming, it's out there. It happens all the time. I'm a proponent of checking up in the attic. My wife thinks it's cold, anything below 70 degrees. So there's gotta be a leak somewhere. What's happening with this house? Why is it? So I'm always up in that attic. And probably eventually you have to live up there. But I always look towards the eaves of the roof and see if there is any compromises. Listen, vermin can get in there, and talk about a non-covered loss. So you get some raccoon in your house that goes bananas when you're not home. That's not covered. I'll tell you that right now. I don't care what kind of rider you get from you have to get a special rider from your insurance company to get that covered, and they can do some damage. And so obviously, so some squirrels. I found out the hard way. When I bought my house last year, thank God no one was in the house, and we got rid of our unwanted squatters. So don't forget about the home, and we'll wrap it up with this newsletter, and let's talk about things that should, again, we're talking about the cars. So this is for the New Jersey OEM winter weather preparedness, and again, we talked about, you know, make sure the brakes and the tires, and these are some, you know, and we windshield wiper scrapers. Remember, tow rope would be good, like I said. Also, everyone should have cables, jumper cables. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, winter or not, you should have cables. But just because it's the winter months doesn't mean you're not traveling, okay? There are people who are going up and down the East Coast. There's your regular people who do it for a living. They drive from Boston to New York, and that's their coverage area. Heck, some of these are general adjusters, or cat guys, they're all over the place. They have to have their, I mean, can you imagine an adjuster not having all these tools in his car? And I'm not talking about physical hammers and nails. I'm talking about the driving kit kind of tools there's no really kit out there yet, but we're in the process of rolling one of those out for you. People who are driving to see, go through grandma's house down in, I don't know, South Carolina, taking a trip. I know in the past, for example, my brother's taking a trip and he was away for a week. I had no idea the guy was even gone. Notifying is a big thing, especially you can get stranded with some of these snowdrifts. I mean, what was it, last week, upstate New York? People were trapped in their car for 36 hours. These things really, you know, the government or state government is not putting out paperwork to justify they have jobs. Let me tell you, these people are working their tails off. They're 24/7, and I had a conversation with Nick a couple of days ago talking about Thanksgiving, and the weather was nice on Thanksgiving, but last year he said, you know, he spent the whole time down at the command center being on notice in case, you know, they needed his expertise and, you know, notifying the local municipalities, whichever could have been affected with driving conditions or power outages and things like that. You know, again, this is from our Colonel Fuentes from State Police. You know, it's these are applicable everyday common sense things, and that includes buckling up and then driving properly in the snow and the ice. Again, it's this common sense, and he's doing a U-turn on a two-lane road and not checking either. You know, just go down to the block or somebody backing up on the New Jersey Turnpike. I still can't believe people actually do it. They miss the turn. They miss their turn. They're about a quarter mile down off the exit, and they're backing up while people are doing 90 miles an hour. You know, those things are still just insane. I talk about being prepared, being, you know, whether it's personal, it's your home, it's your business, but also on the neighbor side, being a good neighbor and, you know, checking on some of the older people. Then this one goes for apartment buildings, too. You know, you lose power, knock on the door, make sure they're okay. I mean, it's not that difficult. But another show in the can, as they say, hopefully was informative. And anything you guys want to ask from past shows, this show, last week's show, just, you know, go on the comments page on the website. That's cppems.com. And I know there's a couple things I need to answer regarding last week with the inventory. I'll get those answers for you. I can't remember the guys' names. Their names are posted up there. So go ahead. I mean, they're common sense things, and there's lots of links to other guys who've been on the show who might have, and especially Captain Dan, or actually Dan O'Brien from Academy Electric and Electrical Power Systems with generators. You know, it's that time. He's going to be a guest on, I think it's next week. It might be the week after. He'll spend a couple minutes just talking about the hazards that happen during the holiday seasons. And, you know, and like I said, just being prepared. This is a really a dangerous time regarding with the weather. And we're in our homes more. There's more opportunity to cause some damage. So you've been listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. And enjoy the rest of the weekend. And let's end the war. Bring home our men and women from this war. Take care now.
You've been listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, from CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. You can reach Chris by calling 201-483-8953. And don't forget to tune in every Saturday morning at 7 for the Disaster Recovery Hour, right here on AM 970, The Apple.